All right, Kevin Barker. So I walked into the broadcast booth, and as I sat down, I asked myself, I wonder when the last time the Jays were over 500, just for giggles. Ben Shulman tells me, April 25th, 2024. The Jays are 3-2 after their 5-2 win over the Washington Nationals. 6-for-13 with runners in scoring position, despite the fact the top of the order, the top three, 1-for-12. Bowden Francis, a no-hitter through five. And Andrés Giménez, Kevin Barker, another home run, his third, scored three runs. So much of this game seemed to revolve around him.
Yeah, look, for me it was the 3-1 timeout when Soroka was trying to, you know, work quick. He was feeling frisky with the heater. Little dude knows he's going to get a 3-1 heater, wants to be ready for it. The trigger, you know, his little trigger is I'm going to tap it on my shoulder. I need that good separation when I kick my leg, I get my foot down. Everything's got to have that little tension in the, you know, in the hands to sort of maximize bat speed. And he didn't like how Soroka was rushing him, called timeout, because he knew what he was going to get in 3-1 pitch. He was ready for it. He gets a head out. He hits a homer. It's genius. Look, it's him. It's Springer. Springer's sort of the two, him and Giménez are the two guys that really need the timing thing, right? We're seeing Springer with a little bit less tension in his hands, which is a big deal, right? The less tension you have, the quicker your bat's going to be. We've seen him the last couple of days really sort of hone in on getting the foot down a little bit earlier. Tonight we saw him get the head out on 98. The sinker down and in on the RBI in his last at bat, he got the head out too. So if he can get it going, Kirky with the plate coverage, you know, that's a big deal too. Tougher outs, right, with runners in scoring position. You got to put the ball in play, use the big part of the field, think middle the other way. That's what good hitters do. So, yeah, sort of a team win. You talked, we were listening to about Bowden. Right, it's throwing strike one. He was 14 for 23. You know, it was arm side command for me. The 16 breaking balls that he threw, he got six called strike. That means you're unpredictable. That means you sort of throwing the hitter off balance. Now he can't look for one certain pitch. When you can't do that, now you're sort of, you know, ahead of the eight ball. And good starting pitching, timely hitting, and great defense normally, you know, wins against some lesser teams, and that's what they did.
Yeah, Bowden Francis had 17 called strikes tonight. You mentioned six in the curve, two in the split, nine on the four-seamer. You know, and until giving up those back-to-back home runs was, I mean, he was really in control. He had hit a couple of walks. And, yeah, you know, the Jays are 3-2 after that split with the Baltimore Orioles. Michael Soroka was awfully good. Start the game for the Washington Nationals. He did leave the game with an injury, and you know, we talked about friend of the show, kid from Calgary.
Yeah,
he just can't catch a break, and whatever break he catches, yeah, it's bad luck. He left the game with what appeared to be some sort of issue with his right hand, and we know, of course, about the two Achilles injuries. So we certainly wish Michael Soroka all the best. We hope it's nothing. Maybe than a little, you know, early season soreness. George Springer, Kevin. Look, we talked a lot about him. A lot of people have talked a lot about George Springer. He did not have a very good spring. John Schneider was bullish on him. I think we kind of thought that was just John Schneider sticking up for one of his guys.
Yeah.
He has, though, been a contributor in these first five games. You know, he's not hitting home runs, but he is being a contributor, and he's creating a little bit of offense for this team. And you know, again, he's playing good defense.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got competition, right? I mean, there's some younger guys, some left-handed hitters who may be.
I wondered about that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's an older guy. He's at the end. He understands that, right? He didn't have a very good year last year. He had an atrocious spring training, right? It's, you know, he's searching for certain bat sizes that'll at least give him a chance to get the head out a little bit. He knows what he's going to get from a right-handed pitcher. He's going to get hard in. It's off the way. Like, you know, it's no surprise when he comes to the plate what he's going to get. It's just, you know, how you become tension-free and how quickly can you get the foot down, which will allow you to, you know, be balanced and just maximize what you still got left. And it's just nice to see him get a fastball, don't have to overswing, don't have to fall to a knee trying to hit it like we've seen him do in the past a ton of times. You know, it's just free and easy, and thinking about all you got to do if you're loosening up the hands, that'll loosen up the barrel. That'll make the barrel quicker. That'll allow you to get your foot down. You'll be balanced, at least give you a chance to make contact out in front of the plate, which is, for an older guy like himself, the most important part, because he knows now how he's going to get pitched. So, yeah, I'm with you. Between the competition that he's got from the younger guys and just, you know, sort of having that little fight here that says, you know, I still got a little something left. It's kind of nice that John believes in me. He's not putting me in the nine hole. You know, he's putting him in the six and seven hole, which is, you know, those are RBI spots. And he's giving you some competitive at-bats. You know, he's not sort of going outside the box when he does have a bad at-bat. It's not killing him. Like, he's not carrying it over to his next at-bat like he did tonight. He had one bad at-bat. He sort of, you know, forgot about it, went up and had a better at-bat his next at-bat. So, yeah, they're going to need this. They're not going to hit homers. I mean, they can't continue just having the same guy hitting the home runs all the time, right? So they're going to need some surprises. And maybe it's George. Again, it's early. It's five games in. But, man, the way his spring training looked to the way he looks now, you got some hope there. It's kind of nice to see him walking to the plate now, right now.
Right, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with whether or not it's a season-long surprise. There's nothing wrong with having the surprise, having four or five surprises during the year, you know, one this month, one the next month. Yeah. But, listen, I'm with you. We know he's going to play good defense, and I'm going to give John Schneider credit here just because I think John has done a pretty good job, by and large, of trying to prevent George Springer from becoming too much of a drama, from becoming too much of a distraction for this team. He did it last year, you know, and at times we'd roll our eyes, right? Well, John's just sticking up for his guy, but yeah, you know, sometimes a manager has to do that. And I guess the logical question would be like, what's the point in not doing it? But yeah, Sometimes a manager has to do that. And okay, if George has, you know, can contribute this year, you know, then good and John for doing that.
Okay, they won 74 games last year. It's okay for you to let a guy have a little longer leash this year. They can't do that. If George stinks, probably George ain't playing. Like that I think is the difference between last year and this year is they're in a little bit of urgency to get off to a good start, maintain a little, you know, momentum going into sort of parts of the season. You're splitting this thing in parts to where you're trying to win a bunch of baseball games, depending on what the schedule is trying to tell you that you can do. You get some good starting pitching, which will allow some surprises to happen. And right now, George is hitting velocity, which, I mean, when's the last time we could say that? I don't remember the last time the head out on 98 and hit a línea off the wall in left field. It's been a while. So good for him. I mean, I'm sure he listens to the noise. He hears it. I mean, he's been wearing it. Everybody knows he stunk at spring. It's nice to see him come out and be competitive and hammer some baseballs.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. Name and location, please. Standard data and message rates may apply. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. It's not Blue Jays Talk without you. So, again, get to the phone lines. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Eric in Halifax, we'll get to you in a minute. Kevin, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I mean, we got to bring this up. Ernie Clement getting doubled off with the bases loaded and a little lollipop line drive to the second baseman. I mean, sooner than later, John's going to have to set an example. I understand this is five games in, but if you're not going to hit any homers, Jeff, you can't be doing things like that. There's excuses for certain things. Running the bases like you're a little leaguer ain't one of them. I love Ernie. You know I do. I was the first one on that wagon because I saw him on the backfield taking ground balls and said he deserves to be a big leaguer. But, man, you're alive. You just can't run the bases like that, especially when the way you're trying to score runs is to get them on, get them over, get them in. You got the bases loaded and nobody out, and you could get your leadoff hitter to the plate. There's no excuses for it. So, you know, wouldn't be Barker if I didn't bring that up. They need to get better at that. If they're going to have any chance of playing meaningful games in September, I said this today, you got to run better routes in the outfield. You can't get picked off at third, and you sure can't get doubled up on a lollipop line drive that's right in front of you with the bases loaded and nobody out.
You're right. You wouldn't be Barker unless you brought that up.
There you go.
Eric in Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Well, I'll tell you, I watched it, and they're cardiac kids. That's all I have to say. And it's only five games. I know that. Their offense could get them to the finish line, but the pitching, that's what scares me. I mean, Berrios has a good game tomorrow night. That'll bring up his spirits. But it's only five games. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I think they're good with the second wild card situation. I think they got a shot at getting into the playoffs. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Eric, thanks for the call. I mean, one of us did pick them to make the playoffs.
Thanks.
Of course, one of us picked the Boston Red Sox. No, two of us picked the Boston Red Sox to win the division. By the way, the Red Sox just making a little bit of news, announcing that they have signed Garrett Crochet to a six-year, $170 million extension.
Yeah.
So
they better figure out how to fix Devers. He punched out Devers three more times tonight.
I know. It is unbelievable. Three strikeouts and a couple of walks for Rafael Devers.
It's crazy.
Kevin, that's a thing. That's crazy. Like that is that's crazy, wild, crazy stuff.
Everybody's saying it's because he ain't playing the field. I mean, that's what everybody's saying. Now, whether that's true or not, everybody goes through slumps, and you know, everybody sometimes looks like they've never picked up a bat before. But man, is it a coinkydink? I just don't know. When do they sort of take a step back and go,
yeah,
what do we do now? What if this is a thing? And you know, mentally, he's just not going to be able to get himself out of it. Again, he goes 3-for-3 tomorrow with two big ones. Nobody will care about the whatever 0-for-19 with 15 punchies. But, man alive, if you're Cora, Jeff, how do you fix this, man?
Kevin,
like, you better hurry up.
I watched two of those at-bats. He's just swinging through pitches. He's swinging through hittable pitches. I mean, just is. There's no other way to describe it. He's swinging and missing hittable pitches. And I don't know, maybe the shoulder, you know, is an issue. You know, we had Jim Bowden on, talked about his weight. I don't see the weight thing. Like, I've seen Rafael Devers enough. It doesn't look to me like he's horribly, horribly overweight.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a difference between being overweight and not in shape. I get that. But,
yeah,
I mean, he's swinging and missing at 94 right down the middle. And that's not Rafael Devers. You know that as well as anybody. That's not Rafael Devers.
I mean, I don't
know what's going on there.
Well, it's sort of Santander's a little off, right? It's got a big swing. You know, he takes Big Daddy hacks basically every time he swings. Now, they are balanced, Santander's swings are. Like, it's, you know, it's not like he's falling all over the place. Devers is a little bit of the same way. You know, all that being connected and for him to catch the ball where he wants to catch it. And, you know, he is a little bit of a free swinger when it comes to different quadrants. It's not like he's honing in on one window. And if he doesn't get it in that window, he ain't swinging. No, he's a happy swinger, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go up there and try and get the head out. So, I don't know. It just seems like a thing to me. I don't know how you walk him off the plank this early. They got to figure that out, though.
Oh, they definitely have to figure it out. Hopefully they can wait until after the Jays leave town.
There you go.
5-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the Washington Nationals in the first of three games. The series continues tomorrow, wraps up Wednesday with an afternoon game. Ray in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. Number one, I'd be a huge fan of the show. Thank you. You guys are doing a great job. Amazing.
Thank you, Ray.
I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are the best. I just want to know if it is too late for the Blue Jays to put in a contrast to Bob Bichette. We see in the last couple of games how Bob Bichette is really doing great. It's look like it's bad to be the old Bob Bichette that we see last couple of years. So another question I have, it is too late. What is going to happen with Schneider? Do you guys think the Blue Jays they need to send down to the minor leagues to his recovery by himself, be getting better? We see that they have it so much difficult to hitting. It feels so frustration in the home plate to hit it. Like, he's not happy. So, I don't know, guys. I just wanted your opinion about that. We love to see Bob Bichette sign a contract with the Blue Jays. But I don't know if it is too late or not. So, what do you guys think about that?
Appreciate the call, Ray. Listen, you know, I mean, there's been so much focus on Vladdy,
because, you know, Vladdy's the guy who's kind of who put the non-deadline on. I mean, Bo just hasn't talked about it. Bo's basically said, as far as I know, now the last time he talked about it, this may have changed because we haven't talked to Bo lately, but the last time in spring training, he said, you know, they haven't reached out to us. It's strange because I think there's always been this feeling out there that Bo is the least likely of the two to sign. And, you know, Kevin, we've talked about this. If I'm the Blue Jays, at some point, I think I've got to at least talk to Bo if I don't get any resolution with Vladdy. I just have to.
I don't know how you lose both of them. Look, I understand the Vladdy thing because of what the number is and what you think he's worth and what Vladdy's wanting. And, like, just it seems like the two sides are really far apart. It's understandable. Bo's not going to cost you that much money. I mean, not as much as Vladdy would cost. So I just don't, Jeff, how this organization can handle with what they don't have coming, losing both of them dudes. Like, you know, a lot of your rotation's going to be gone soon. Like, you're not going to have those names to hang your hat on, you know, to keep you sort of in games, which would allow you to at least be competitive. You're going to need something. Like, how are you going to lose your first baseman and your shortstop and think you're going to be relevant for years to come? I just don't understand that part of it.
This isn't, you know, I don't think this is a primary consideration, but I've also felt this year that, you know, if Bo has a really good year, you know, and he looks locked in, if Bo has a really good year, then maybe it'll get to the point by the end of the year where, you know, I'm not saying you sign him to keep the fan base happy, but it doesn't hurt if it keeps the fan base happy. And maybe, you know, maybe that's the thing. You kind of offer the fans, you know, a bit of a carrot there. We're not going to sign Vladdy, so we'll sign one of the other guys. But I'm with you. The idea you're going to lose both of these guys potentially for nothing,
yeah,
if they walk, is, I mean, again,
it'd
what
be
makes
hard
you,
to take. It'd be
it,
hard.
It
to
is,
take.
And what evidence is there that you know, this front office, frankly, any front office would be able to replace those two guys in one off season?
Yeah, it's a tough look. And the Davis Schneider thing, look, I had a conversation with him for quite some time on the field the other day. You know, he was frustrated last year because he was swinging at too many bad pitches. Tonight, that little lollipop line drive that he hit the second was a bad pitch. Mm-hmm. Like, he has, you know, he can do all those things and tinker all he wants and use the torpedo bat. I think he's using that again, that bat tonight. Like, you know, obviously he's trying everything. Until he gets a better pitch to hit, Jeff, I just don't think we're going to see that Davis Schneider anymore. And maybe that will take him having to go down for him to realize that, you know, you need to get a better pitch. If you don't, you're never going to hit again at the big league level. So they're in win mode. They can't afford to have a dude, you know, sort of repeating what he did last year. I'm rooting for him. He's a good guy. He tries hard. I mean, they all try hard, but he is a good dude. So hopefully he figures it out sooner or later, because he's going to have to. You know, he's going to face some really tough lefties, and they're going to pound the ball in.
Yeah,
on him.
And let's also be clear. You know, it just tells you how much this the composition of this club has changed. I mean, they've got so many left-handed bats right now that Davis's right-handed bat really put him in a good position in spring training. But, you know, at some point Dalton Varsho is going to be back here. And I understand he's a lefty bat, but at some point he's going to be back here. You know, Joey Loperfido's down in the minors. I mean, if you're the Jays and Davis Schneider isn't giving you anything offensively, and Dalton Varsho comes back, you look at Miles Straw's getting a lot of money. And I mean, I know one thing Miles Straw is going to do. He's going to go get it.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where I think the rubber might meet the road with Davis. I'm hoping it doesn't, because he's a good dude. He works hard, and he's a guy this organization basically created. He's a guy this organization created, and there's something to be said for that.
I know they ask him to slug a lot. Maybe that's not fair. You know, the big giant leg kick with all the hand movement. Like, maybe it's just too much to ask. Maybe he needs to quieten that down a little bit, just to give him a better chance to see the ball quicker. Like, it just doesn't seem like all the time he sees the ball until the last minute. And then when he does see it, it's like tonight, he's swinging at that ball that's like 6 or 8 inches off the plate. It's just, you know, maybe there needs to be a change there mentally and mechanically for him to be the best Davis Schneider he could possibly be. And sometimes you got to go through it before you actually say, okay, uncle, enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. I got to change it up. I'm pulling for him. I'm rooting for him because he is a good dude.
The Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Washington Nationals 5-2 in the first game of a three-game series. The Jays are 3-2 in this early point of the season. Let's take a break, come back. We'll take a look at the AL East standings, such as they are. We'll also hear from the skipper, John Schneider, and we'll go back to your calls. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's 3-1. Swing and a deep drive. Right field, way back, and Jimenez has done it again!
If you're drawing up a cleanup hitter, it probably looks like Tony. This is what he can do, you know? So if the optics may look weird, but he's a damn good hitter, you know? And I think it's just a matter of not trying to do anything that he's not capable of. So I think the quality of the at-bat after the first three guys was enticing, and I think the base running part for the guys that are behind him was really enticing too. So credit to him for not really budging and not trying to do anything that he's not capable of, and that's kind of been the theme.
You know, as I've said all along, John Schneider is a freaking genius when it comes to setting the lineup. I know there were some people that were wondering about the presence of a cleanup hitter in this organization, and I was there very early saying I liked Andrés Giménez as a cleanup hitter.
Wow.
Yeah, not really. But anyhow, Andrés Giménez, three home runs through five games. The Jays 5-2 winners over the Washington Nationals. The top of the order, the much-talked-about top of the order, 1-for-12. The Jays getting a lot of balance elsewhere. Mm-hmm. John Schneider was asked about that, and he had some thoughts on his lineup.
Andrés Giménez. I think from top to bottom, I think everyone kind of understands what we're asking him, really. It's cool that you can kind of platoon a little bit at the bottom, and situational hitting, I think, has been a theme since camp started. Even, you know, Kirky with the balls to right, it's been good. I like the way it unfolds. Having Andrés doing what he's doing, again, doesn't surprise us. Probably surprise a lot of people, but doesn't surprise us. And he's been a big part of it.
If I were to look at Andrés, I would not guess that he's the guy leading your team in home runs. What's allowing him to get so much power out of his swing?
He's athletic and he can hit the ball hard. You know, I think we've talked about him so much just coming from Cleveland. You think about glove, you think about contact. And from the day we acquired him, really, like Pop and Lou and Hunter were, like, dove in. Like there's a lot more in there, and I think it's just him trusting that. So getting in good counts definitely helps, and he's taking really good swings and not being afraid to take some chances.
That was the manager, John Schneider, talking about Andrés Giménez, who has certainly early in the season written himself large all over the Toronto Blue Jays. Three home runs, three runs scored tonight, stolen base double, and caught stealing on a very...
He was safe.
Yeah, I was going to say. Maybe not enough to overturn the original call, but he certainly looked safe to me. Andrés Giménez, again, having a terrific offensive game for the Blue Jays. Time now for the Bet365 standings update as we take a look at the American League East. The New York Yankees, they're in Arizona with their torpedo bats, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any... it'll be interesting to see how Mr. Corbin Burns reacts to seeing the torpedo bats. The Tampa Bay Rays are 3-1. The Orioles 3-2. They beat the Red Sox today. Rafael Devers again, three strikeouts, and we talked about it. That is a big, big, big story in Boston. The Jays, we mentioned 3-2, and the Red Sox 1-4, and they're not getting a lot of offense from a couple of their big names, and complicating that as well. They're not playing particularly great defense early in the year. Now, again, it is early. It's safe to say this probably isn't the way the Red Sox expected the season to start. At Bet365, you can bet live in-game on game props, totals, and the money line. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Callum in Halifax.
Hey, guys. I love listening to your show and hearing your insights. And to anyone tired of contract talks, I'm sorry. I've got two questions I'd like to hear your thoughts on. We heard the confidence from the front office on a Guerrero extension. How much of a role do you think his performance this year will impact his value, for better or worse? And second, Kevin, you said you didn't see how the Jays could lose both Bo and Vlad. Is there any world you see both of them back? Thank you.
Wow.
Look at the money ownership spending. I don't think you can necessarily say that nothing's going to happen. You know, that everything isn't on the table. I've said this all along. They could both be back. One of the two could be back. Mm-hmm. Neither of them could be back. Mm-hmm. That's honestly the way I feel about it. I think that's where we are. But
I think the better question is, do you sign one or both during the season, or is it going to be like Aaron Judge, where he goes to free agency? Basically, when you get your last deal, come and see us and we'll talk.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way it's going to be. We had Jim Bowden on today, and he seems to think that if they let him go to free agency, it's going to cost them a lot more money than it would cost them right now.
But see, that makes sense to me for Vladdy. It makes less sense for me with Bo, because I think you can probably figure out how much Bo is going to get. It's probably not that complicated.
You think it goes up if he leads the American League in hits?
I think you can factor that. Here's the thing with Bo. Bo is probably going to lead the American League in hits at some point over the next 3 years, so you factor that into the contract negotiations. Yeah.
You're saying the number would be easier to come up with when you're trying to tackle the Bo contract than it would be for the Vladdy contract because of the size of it.
I would think so because Bo's also signed that three-year deal. So clearly the organization and his agent have been on the same page in terms of his value in the last 3 years because he signed the contract. I've kind of just operated under the assumption that it would be the easier, if Bo wants to stay here. Like, if Bo doesn't want to stay here, then there's nothing you can do about it. But I've always thought that would be kind of an easier deal to get done. But I'm dead serious. They could both be back. Neither of them could be back.
Okay.
One of the two could be back.
Okay, you're on the fence here. I'm not going to be. I've always said, and I will stick with this, I think if they would have been in love with Vladdy, they would have signed him already. So I will say Vladdy's not coming back, but I do think they're going to take a serious run at Bo, and Bo will be back with Varsho. I think they will sign Varsho and Bo Bichette.
Right. Yep. And, and if you've got Varsho, Bichette, Ben Shulman mentioned this. I got to admit, I looked at Andrés Giménez's baseball reference page. I forgot how young he is.
Yeah.
He's not an old guy.
No.
He's not an old guy at all. So, I don't have a read on it yet. I really don't have a read on it. It would be easier if this team wasn't running a $250 million payroll. If this team was on a more restricted payroll, then I think you'd have to just do some hard math and say it's more likely they're going to sign this guy over this guy. But the past two years, they've gone after the most expensive player in the market. Next year, the most expensive player in the market's going to be their guy. It's going to take some explaining if Vladdy ends up leaving here and getting, for an amount of money that would seem to make sense.
Who knows? They may take a run at Kyle Tucker instead.
Yeah, he ain't coming here. I mean, guys from other markets don't come here. That's part of the problem with fans look at it that way. Yeah. I've said this all along. Fans buy into that whole, we're not going to sign Vladdy if they thought that you could go out there and sign Kyle Tucker. But they know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't happened. 5-2, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Washington Nationals. They'll do it again tomorrow. Do not forget, Wednesday is an afternoon game. Blair and Barker will be on tomorrow from 2 to 4 Eastern. We'll be along after the game as well with Blue Jays Talk. And we'll be on from 2 to 3, I believe, on Wednesday as the Jays wrap up this homestand. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Mount Pearl in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.